You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Modern lead generation is a racket. That's our kickoff segment for today's MSP Zone. Modern lead generation. We're going to get more involved in it. We're going to talk about lead generation tactics, what works, what doesn't work, give you our opinion. Right or wrong, it's just an opinion, and hopefully generate some ideas to get you going along your path of hopefully growing your MSP practice in a way that will make sense to you, and one that won't go against popular thinking and convention. Before we get started, though, I would like to ask all of you a very, very simple, quick favor. We're trying to get enough subscribers and momentum in our social media platform to do some live streaming, which, you know, we're getting some feedback from some of you saying, hey, yeah, it would be nice to do some MSP Zone live stream, have some guests, have some Q&A that are live. And I think that would be fun. To do that, however, you need to have a certain number of people following you, subscribing to you, and whatnot. So if you wouldn't mind going over, even those of you who are just listening to this, you're not even seeing the awesome visual stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Go over to youtube.com at MSP Alliance, click the subscribe button, hit the like button, and that will really help us out because it'll tell us, number one, that you're out there, you're listening, you're watching, you'll like the material. That in and of itself is awesome. It's also going to help us get to that magic point to be able to start doing some of these live streams and continue to improve the content experience. When I say modern lead generation is a racket, what exactly do I mean? Okay, I'll tell you exactly what I mean. I think lead generation, as I'm seeing it today, is garbage. 100% straight up pure garbage. I get it's not even a daily basis now. It's on a probably several hours, every several hours, I am getting lead generation cold emails, spam emails. I'm getting cold calls. I'm getting social media messages. And if they could fly a drone with a, you know, little banner behind it saying, hey, do you want some lead generation services? I'm sure they'd start doing that as well. And these are companies that I've not heard of. I'm not currently doing business with them. Never heard of them before. I don't know how they're finding us. Most of them don't even have a website. But they're out there with the same message. Hey, would you... It's generally some really stupid opening like, would your business be better if you had 8 to 10 qualified leads per day? You know, what would you do with all that new revenue, Charles? And, you know, stuff like that. Appealing to the more vain side of business owners. Some of them are actually pretty entertaining what their lead-in is, but they all end up with a call to action, which is, hey, why don't you click on the link and set up a meeting, and we'd love to tell you about what we can do. And think about that, because they're... Those lead generation programs or platforms are not exclusively being aimed at MSPs, but a lot of MSPs are being targeted. And there are some that are specifically MSP lead generation focused. And there are some that are just lead generation to anybody, right? They'll make it to, you know, give you lead generation if you manufacture number 2 lead pencils. But lead generation, as it's currently being framed by these lead generation companies who are not proficient in anything, much less writing, and half of the stuff, half of the content in the emails is absolutely guaranteed coming from an AI bot. Like, they're going to ChatGPT and they're saying, could you write me a intro email to MSP Alliance for selling them lead generation services? And it comes out, and it it's funny because what it does is it'll start off with the lead generation topic, and then it will say something to the effect of, hey, I've been following you at MSP Alliance for a while now, and it's really good. And then what comes next is boilerplate language that they stole from our website and put it into the email, right? So what they do is they go to your website, grab your content from your website, put it into the email to make it look like they actually know and are familiar with what you do. And that's, you know, it's a trick, right? It's a grifter trick, but it's still a grifter trick. Okay, it's just there's an AI engine doing it instead of a real human doing it. Earlier today, I was on a webinar with Chris Massey over at Enable, and we did an Enable webinar to their partner base, talking about control frameworks, which actually we're not going to talk about on this episode, but we've talked about control frameworks in the past, and we'll undoubtedly talk about it again in the future. But actually, we do talk about control frameworks next. Huh, how about that? For about an hour, we were having a really awesome conversation, Chris and I. It was just Chris and I on the webinar, just chatting about compliance, control frameworks, what's working for MSPs, what's working for MSP customers, and things like that. And I'm thinking, right, all the questions that were coming in, really good questions about how modern day MSPs should be positioning their practice to be taking advantage of obvious pressure on managed services customers and compliance, regulatory, cybersecurity, risk-related themes. And I'm getting emails, cold call emails, that are soliciting their lead generation services. And I'm thinking, gosh, how many of these MSPs that were on that webinar, what are they going to do if they actually, you know, start using some of these lead generation cold calling services, trying to pitch things like compliance, control frameworks? How is it ever going to work? Why would it ever work? And some of these things are so bad at just their solicitation of customers for their lead generation services. I don't even know what their, I would assume that their content to the end user customer, if we hypothetically, not that we would ever do this, if we engage one of these, you know, lead generation services, their content to customers that, you know, I guess they would be MSPs, members that we would want to, you know, solicit and get them to join MSP Alliance, it would be horrible. It would be absolutely horrible, right? I mean, why would it be any better than what they came up with in their solicitation to me? And I see this so frequently, and I see the same quality, which is to say very little quality, over and over and over again. It's not like, you know, there's only one or two really bad ones, but everybody else, you know, offering cold calling services are just really good. No. They're all crap. They're all junk. They're all services that if they ever represented us, they would make us look bad. I would not want to engage them because they would drag down our reputation into the mud because that's how bad they are. There's a theme here, right, folks? You getting it? About lead generation services being not good. It's not worth your time. If you're a practicing MSP, I'm sorry, but I just have a very strong belief about this, that cold calling, modern lead generation, as is being presented by these dime a dozen shops out there, is not worth it. They don't work, and they could actually be harmful to your MSP reputation. Is all cold calling bad? Some of you might be saying. Some of you probably are doing cold calling yourself. I'm not saying that. But I do believe that if MSPs are going to be effective at growth, at growing their managed services practice, they have to have a couple of things in place. Number one, you have to have some content that's average or better. That content could be a blog. It could be something just simple. A blog you write maybe once a month. Maybe if you really have some time, maybe you do it like once a week. I don't know. If you're a little bit more daring and you don't mind getting in front of a camera, you could do stuff like this. You could have your own podcast. You could have a tech podcast. You could do tech videos, you know, sent out to your customer base or your lead list or your social media community, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, X, Twitter, whatever. Right? Wherever you're at, wherever you think your customers are, you could do video content that would help explain what it is that you do. And you don't even have to make it a sales pitch. It could just be something that's informational. It could be something that is educational. I've been a proponent of inbound lead generation, which is different than these characters promoting, you know, outbound cold calling, cold emailing, cold texting, cold social media messaging, all that stuff, right? Again, I don't think that works, period. What I do think works, because I've seen it work, is if you have good content and you have a position or an opinion on something, pick something that you do frequently as a managed service provider. Maybe it's backup. Maybe it's MFA, maybe it's EDR, maybe it's compliance, maybe it's cybersecurity, risk, maybe it's password management, whatever it is. Could be multiple things that you're passionate about. Talk about it. Write about it. Video yourself talking about it. And spread that message and inform your customers and potential customers. If you do that, you'll get leads. If you do that, you could even do cold calling and you could say things like, hey, we're going to have a webinar on this topic. We thought you might be interested. If you would, here's the registration. You could do things like, hey, we're going to have a lunch and learn where we're going to be talking about small businesses in the metro area and how you can lower your overall cyber risk. You know, limited to the first 20 people who register. You know, lunch is on us, whatever. I mean, there are so many different innovative, low-cost ways that you can generate leads and opportunities to talk to people, which is what I call leads or lead generation, that do work. But don't, I implore you, don't fall for this racket of, I don't even know what you call them. They're just, I think most of them are social media lead gen shops. And, you know, you have to have a message first. No lead generation company is going to give you a corporate brand or a corporate message. That has to come from you. And until you have that, until you have that epicenter, that core of what your MSP practice is all about, what you're trying to accomplish. And until you have that, you can't really talk about it. You can't express it. And until you can express it, you can't have anyone on your team for that matter, much less an outsourced third-party lead gen shop spreading, you know, a message that doesn't even exist. You see what I'm saying? Content. Content has to be your primary objective in going to market with any type of marketing, messaging, sales, or lead generation campaigns. That's just my belief. I could be wrong. You may have a very different approach that is working. If you do, I would love to hear it. Drop a comment, send us an email, mspzone@mspalliance.com. Call in. We'd love to talk to you. It's just my, I would like to think, well-informed opinions based off of a fair number of conversations and feedback from MSPs who have tried these types of, you know, platforms. And, you know, for the most part, well, not for the most part, I've never heard of anyone saying that they tried some of these lead gen social media things and had it work. Not one. I'm not aware of practicing MSPs right now that are using this, that are happy with their lead gen. Happy MSPs with their lead gen efforts are doing something that invariably centers around content creation and amplifying their content in certain areas and in certain ways. That should be your area of focus for growth. If you're not an expert in that, which I get help. There are plenty of firms that can help you construct content. They can do things like, hey, get you lighting if you want to do the video, and they can tell you how to record it and how to audio and do all the fancy stuff that, you know, we do. It's not actually that fancy, but it actually took some time for us to learn. But it can be learned, and it can have a very powerful impact in your organization's ability to communicate at scale to people that you want to talk to. But these cold calling centers, shops, and they're not even cold calling. It's not even about calling on the phone anymore. It's about like just spamming your message, because your social media messaging platform, because I'm getting them. They're like somehow getting in there, and they'll try to sneak in there and be a LinkedIn friend, and then once you accept them, they say, hey, do you want to get 8 to 10 new, you know, leads? And, you know, it's like complete misrepresentation of who they are. And why would you want that to be a potential customer's first impression of your company? You see what I'm saying? I don't think it's worth it. Moving on. The example I gave before about, you know, control frameworks, it came up today during that webinar with Enable. And Chris Massey, of Enable, asked the question, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it, which is, if you're an MSP, startup or otherwise, but you're not doing anything in compliance or certification, you're not certified, you're not audited, and you just don't know where to start, where do you start? Like, literally, what is the first thing that you do as an MSP to take that first step towards compliance, achieving certification, and even just trying to figure out which framework do I pick? And I know all of you are probably very aware of so many frameworks that are out there. It's like alphabet soup time. Who do you pick? Which one's relevant? How much do they cost? How much time is it going to take? As so many people like to say, you know, right, how much, you know, is the juice going to be worth the squeeze, right? I hear that phrase a lot, right? What's the return on investment for going down this path of compliance with this framework or compared to this framework? Okay. Number one, first thing, business plan. That's the last segment we're going to talk about. I'm going to talk about that next. That's the first thing you ought to do. The next thing, after you come up with your business plan is you figure out, because this stuff actually can change even after you've got an existing business plan in place. So the business plan could and likely will need to be updated in this one regard. The types of customers you're taking on today versus the type of customers you took from day one might reasonably be different. It's quite reasonable to expect that that could be a very different set of customers. Ask yourself this question when deciding where to start with in control frameworks. What is most relevant to your customers? Okay. What type of customers do you have in your managed services? Now, I'll give you a little hint. If you are a managed service provider, but you also do professional services, consulting, you resell stuff, hardware, software to customers. I am not talking about any customer other than a managed services customer, because that arguably is the only relevant customer relationship that you will have that even implicates compliance, right? You can't be audited on your reseller work. You really can't be audited on your professional services, your consulting work, because it's not, doesn't rise to the level. There aren't controls. There's no control framework for consultants. But there are for MSPs, and there are for customers who receive MSPs. What's relevant to your customers? Well, you might say, well, Charles, we've got a whole bunch of different customers. How do I know? Do I have to go call each and every one of them and ask them what's relevant to them? It's probably not a bad idea for you to be talking to your customers, you know, frequently. And yeah, you might want to start asking them questions like, are you starting to hear about certain compliance frameworks from your vendors, your partners? If you're not asking those questions, somebody probably is. That's not you. All right, that's all I'm saying. Relevancy to your customers. If you've got customers who, let's say in the US banking sector, chances are they're going to be interested in SOC 2 or MSP Verify. If you have customers that are in the defense industrial base, chances are they're going to be sensitive to and hearing a lot about CMMC. If you have customers that happen to be in Europe, mainland Europe, not the UK, mainland Europe, continental Europe, chances are they're going to be highly responsive to things such as ISO 27001, so on and so on. Every country could be a little bit different. Every market vertical, service vertical could be a little bit different in terms of the types of control frameworks that might be pressuring that customer at any given moment. That's your first step, is understanding where the pressure is coming from your customers. Step two. Stop thinking about achieving each and every certification out there, because you could go broke doing it, and you could easily end up spending all of your time being certified instead of being an MSP. That's not really any fun. There's no money in being certified all the time. Our advice, and this is from 20 plus years of experience, so I ask you to have a little bit of faith in what I'm about to say. Do it once and then translate. What does that mean? It means document your MSP controls first. If you don't know how to do that, call us up, email us, and we'll help you do that. Document your internal MSP controls first. Don't go to ISO and copy their controls and put it and cross out the name and say, you know, your MSP name at the front of it and think that, oh, I've got all the controls I need. Because I'll give you a little hint. ISO is not an MSP framework, and you're going to be missing a ton of stuff that is going to be necessary for you to be a good MSP. Okay? I'll just tell you that right now. Document your internal MSP controls first. Then, when you have done that, you will be in a really good position to be able to map, crosswalk. We use the term crosswalk in the Enable webinar today, and everyone seemed to like that. Crosswalk, I'll use the term translate your MSP internal controls to your customer controls. All right, you see how that works? You do it once, and then you translate, you crosswalk, you map to other frameworks. And if you do it that way, you're not chasing your tail, trying to figure out, oh my gosh, I just completed the security section for CMMC. Oh, but now I got to go over and complete the same stuff for ISO. Oh, but wait, I have to go over and do the same thing for PIPEDA in Canada. Or no, I have to go and do the same thing for the trust services criteria for SOC 2. You're always chasing something in that approach at great cost of time, resources, and money. You do it once. You come up with your core security controls, whatever they are for your MSP practice, and you're going to have different controls. Not all MSPs are going to have exactly the same controls. And then you start to translate to your customers. And if you happen to have a customer that is, I'll just use the term or the example of CMMC. They're sensitive to CMMC. Well, guess what? If they're a managed services customer of yours, your security controls are probably, at least a good number of them, are going to be relevant to that customer's CMMC controls as well. You see what happened there? By doing a simple thing like documenting your security controls, you now are capable of translating, crosswalking, mapping, whatever term you want to call it, connecting your controls to your customer's controls in whatever framework that they care about. But you didn't have to go crazy by chasing all these frameworks. You just focused on yours first, and then you focused on what, if any, controls your managed services customers were consuming from you. And here's a big tip, tip of the day. This is worth a lot of money, right? Pay attention to this, seriously. If you do that little sequence that I just articulated, what you will also have by deduction is you will have a good understanding of what controls are and are not being met at your customer environment because of services that they are or are not consuming from you. Example, if you document that you not only back up your own internal data as an MSP, but that you also have backup as a service, and let's say CMMC, in this example again, the customer is not backing up their data from you, they're not doing it internally themselves, and they're not having anybody else back up the data, right? It's possible. Well, in that example, you, the MSP, have met a control, many control frameworks specific to backing up data. But the customer has what we might call a gap, a control gap, or a big bullseye for all the cyber hackers out there, right? Oh, they're not backing up their data. Well, this is a great opportunity to go deploy some ransomware, right? But now you know that that customer is not going to get compliant in that one framework probably multiple frameworks, because they all at some point are going to ask a question, how are you backing up and protecting your data? And if they're not getting it from you, that's going to be an exception. That's going to be a red X, right? It's going to be a non-compliant area for many, many control frameworks around the world if a customer is not getting backup as a service. And there are many, many other examples, folks. But that's how you do it once. Start with your MSP controls, documented, and then transferred, translated, crosswalked, mapped, all of it, to all of your customers who want to participate in such an exercise. And you will be in a very good position to not only know what their overall risk is, but you will be in a very good position to be able to tell them, look, you're not going to really ever become compliant in any of these major frameworks until you start to really do some things. Starting with, let's start backing up your data. Can we start doing that? That is the best case approach that I see, that we see MSPs taking today. It's how forward-thinking MSPs who are not only certified, but are being very progressive or very advanced in their handling of compliance-related topics with their managed services customers is because they understand the gaps and the areas of coverage that the customer receives from the MSP just because the MSP understands what their own controls are and they've got them written down. And if you start there, that will automatically begin to connect the dots one by one, and you will realize how, I don't want to say easy, but how straightforward it is to begin to understand compliance, understand how control frameworks operate, and piece them together in a way that doesn't break the bank, doesn't drive you crazy, and hopefully might actually allow you to make money at it. Give it some thought. If you have questions, and I know some of you might be out there, you know, scratching your heads, you know, brains are exploding, saying, oh my God, this is way too much. Happy to walk you through this. Happy to get on a phone call, talk you through the approach again, be a little bit, you know, more proscriptive about certain things, answer questions. That's what we're here to do. I want to finish with the business plan. It's a good fundamental. Those veterans out there listening to this, you're probably saying, yeah, we already have a business plan. All right, well, you should probably still hear about this. But those of you who are kind of startups, and I know there's a lot of you out there that are watching this, listening to this podcast, you're joining MSP Alliance, great. This is for you. Your business plan is so critical to your overall success that I wouldn't be doing anything until I had a business plan written down as an MSP. I wouldn't be taking customer number one. I wouldn't be managing a single object until I had at least not a thumbnail sketch, but a fairly good understanding, maybe even a page of just a business plan of what you want to do, how you want to do it, written down. Because what will happen when you have that business plan, several things actually can happen. It's going to give you incredible clarity about the types of tools you need. It's going to give you incredible clarity about the type of services you intend to deliver and to whom you want to deliver those services to. It's going to streamline your efforts and give you focus where previously and without a business plan, I have seen countless MSP startups just flounder and struggle and spin their wheels because they have no focus, and they're trying to go in 10 different directions all at once, and it doesn't work. And I get it, because you're a startup, you're trying to make ends meet, you're trying to generate revenue, and you're just going in whatever direction seems like it's going to be a payoff. I get it. But instead of going in 10 different directions all at once, a business plan for your MSP practice can hone your focus, give you precise laser direction, and say, I'm going to go in this direction. Maybe a good direction, maybe a bad direction. I didn't say that. But it's going to give you direction, and at least you're not going to be doing that 10 different directions at once. To give you focus on where to go, where to head, and what you're going to need to get there. Now, you may say, I have a reasonable hope, gut feel that this direction is the right path for us. And maybe midway down that journey, you say, you know what, we're going to shift a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, or we're going to shift a little up or down, or whatever. You'll make micro adjustments. Everybody does. But your resources are focused, and you're not spinning your wheels. You're not wasting time and resources on doing multiple things all at once, which none of them probably are paying off in the long run, and none of them are making you a better MSP. You'll be faster time to market. And the topic we just left, the control framework question, that business plan is going to accelerate your understanding and your knowledge of the relevant control frameworks that you are going to have to be conversant in depending on which direction you're headed, right? Because if you're going in this direction, let's say, and that direction is going to lead you down a path of one or two certain frameworks, wouldn't you want to know that before you said, oh, we don't need to go down that path because that path takes us to that control framework world and we don't need that. None of our customers are over here. So why are we going to go over here? Let's go over here. This is where our customers are, or where we want to find those customers. And if we're going to find those customers, we need to be prepared to talk about those frameworks. That's how that works. But it all starts with a business plan. It doesn't have to be a book. Start with a page or two. Write it down, get as much detail as you can, revisit it periodically. It'll get better and better and better. And the better it gets, all the other things that I talked about, your service delivery, your product acquisition, your compliance, your sales, your marketing, all that will start faster than you believe. Will start to come into sync, and they will become progressively easier and easier to perform. Try it. Folks, if you like the video, YouTube, at MSP Alliance, hit the subscribe button, give us a like. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.